morning. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn with me, if you would, to the book of John, please, to John 21. John 21. It's good to be back with you. I'm going to have to ask the men in the sound system to watch it very carefully because my voice is not good. And, of course, in Minnesota, we don't have electricity, so this is really new to me on my ear. So, anyway, you're going to have to put up with that just a little bit. I hope you survived Halloween. I left my costume on, in case you had not noticed, so you're going to have to just endure. But we appreciate you being here this morning. It was cold this morning, a cold wind, getting used to winter. But I'm going to preach a message that is one of those messages this morning that is a little bit heavy when it comes to putting it all together. So you're going to have to listen because there is a lot here. I know a lot of people concentrate upon this passage, "Lovest thou me," as the question is asked. But there's much more here that we want to look at today. And if we can grab onto it, and if we can live it, we can live in victory. And that's certainly our goal. I'm going to give you a little bit of the background to John 21. As you know, Jesus Christ had gone to the cross and was crucified. Then he was buried, and then he rose again. And he had met the disciples a few times. And you'll note, the disciples were quite distraught and obviously very discouraged because all they had hoped for had just collapsed. They were looking for the kingdom. They were looking for Christ to rule and reign, and all they had understood because of their blindness, they didn't grasp it. And you'll note in this passage that they go back to fishing. Simon Peter's the leader, and he is the outspokesman for the disciples often. And you'll note that they go to the Sea of Tiberias or the Sea of Galilee, which is the same place, go back to fishing. And while they're fishing, they fish all night. And you'll note they catch nothing, which obviously for some very seasoned fishermen, this was not right. This was not the norm. But then you'll note the Lord is walking on the seashore and he tells them to cast their net on the other side. And it is full of fish, 153, and they're large fish. And then they realize that this is the Lord. And you'll note the fish are brought to shore. And when they get to shore, the Lord asks them to come and dine. He already has bread and a fish on the fire. And there around the fire, after they eat, that's where we'll pick it up. He begins his conversation with Peter. And this is where we're going to begin in verse 15. It says, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Jesus was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whether thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. Then spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? And Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad amongst the brethren. The disciples said, Should not die, yet Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Let's pray. Our Father, we thank thee for your word. And Lord, we thank thee so much for the privilege to preach and teach. And Lord, we just ask you to just quiet our minds and our hearts about the things of this day or of the past week or the week ahead. And Lord, help us be able to concentrate upon your word. And Lord, help us be able to grasp what is here. And Lord, help us apply it to our life, Lord, that we might live it in such a way that we bring glory to your precious name. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
One of the privileges we've had as a family, my family is not with me today, except my wife is here. We are kind of having a honeymoon here today. Our family is not with us. But we've had the privilege over the last several months visiting 11 different fundamental churches around Minnesota and in Iowa. And one of the things that we have noticed is what a privilege it is to get with Christians who love the Lord. Christians who want to serve the Lord and Christians who want to please the Lord. And that's what we found here. And that's one of the reasons that we enjoy the church is because of the people. But anyway, another thing that we find universally in the churches is this. And this is the sad part, is a lot of Christians are really hurting. One of the things that we have learned and noticed is there is a lot of hurt amongst God's people. Now you say, what has caused the hurt? Well, it's a lot of things. Many times it is financial problems. A lot of people have lost their jobs all over the country. So a lot of people are struggling to make it financially. Another one is not only the economic problem, but there is a physical problem. Every church, there are people, it's like Satan is attacking the church to discourage and stop his work and to stop the saints from going forward. There's sickness and there's the disease. There is large physical problems, and we have some of which is in our family. So we know that. But nonetheless, that is within the churches. Another one is there's a lot of spiritual struggles, and people are falling into sin. And that is a tragedy. Churches are having to deal with sin in the lives of some of the saints that should have known better, and you thought better. Another problem that you'll not find is relationship problems or relational problems, is where there is a breakup within a home or breakup in a family, or there's breakup in a church amongst Christians where they don't get along, or there's something that divided them. And now those who used to be confidence of each other and loved each other and spent time together now don't speak to each other. That is going on. Another one is a tremendous emotional trouble. You find people who have gone through tremendous trials, and they're discouraged. They're downtrodden. They're disillusioned. And sorry to say, some are just about to give up. Now, that's kind of what you see in the life of Peter. Peter was disillusioned. He was discouraged. And it doesn't give us all the details concerning him going back to his old occupation. But you'll find Peter quitting, not doing what the Lord wanted him to do, going back and leading the other disciples back to his old occupation. And that's where the Lord meets Peter and talks to Peter. But there is a lesson here that is really vague, and it is this. It is the underlying message is that the Lord was teaching Peter the lesson that I need to learn, and that is this. The Christian life is not ultimately about you. I'll say that again. The Christian life is not ultimately about you. It's about Him. And Peter had filled his life at this point with doing what Peter loved, liked, and enjoyed. He went back to. And the Lord meets Peter and brings him from that point to doing what God wanted him to do. And you'll note, and I'm titling this message, A New Beginning. Peter needed a new beginning. He needed to start at some point, and the Lord lovingly takes Peter through four steps to get him back on his feet to where Peter is no longer focused upon Peter, but he's focused upon the Lord. I want you to notice four things in this passage that I want to concentrate upon in the steps that the Lord uses to bring Peter around. The first one is this, is Peter had to face and forsake his sin. If you and I are going to go forward, we have to face the sin that is in our life. We have to. That is the way we go forward. Now, you'll note Peter had denied the Lord three times. His life was filled with self-will. Even though Peter had been a chosen disciple, he was the outspoken disciple. He was the one who went up to the Mount of Transfiguration to be able to see the transfiguration there of the Lord. Peter was very privileged. He was one of the inner circle, Peter, James, and John. But Peter had fallen. You'll note he was boastful and said, although those other disciples are going to deny you, I'll never deny you. In fact, he tells the Lord something literally that is saying to the Lord indirectly, you're not telling the truth. Because you said we're going to deny you, but I will never deny you. And the Lord says, before the cock crows three times, you're going to deny me. And you'll note that's what took place. Peter failed to watch and pray. He found himself around the enemy fire, and there he caved. He denied the Lord, and to prove that he was not one of the disciples, he swore and acted just like the lost people, and then the cock crew. And when it crew, he understood and he remembered, and he went out and wept bitterly, and eventually goes back to his old ways. And what the Lord does is he brings Peter to that point. Peter, you denied me three times. Do you love me more than these other disciples? Do you love me more than these? Now, you could attack for application and say, do you love me more than this or that or an occupation or a particular amusement or something that you enjoy doing for a hobby? We could put that in there. But really, the context is here's the other disciples who are on the seashore. You said you would not deny them, even though they would. You were stronger than them. You put them down. Do you love me more than they do? And that cut Peter to the heart because the Lord was bringing Peter to that point that he was not able to stand in his own strength. And Peter finally understood that he could do nothing. And you'll note at the bottom where the third point is this, is he finally says, Lord, you know. Peter's self-will was now gone. Peter now was able to be used. And three times the Lord says, lovest thou me? The first two are agape, which is that love of God. The third one is phileo love, which you'll note is friendship love. And he says, do you love me fully like God? Do you love me fully like God? Do you love me that way? Or do you love me just like a friend? And Peter says, Lord, you know. See, we have to, as Christians, if we're going to go forward, we go forward starting on our knees, humbly before a holy God, asking God to forgive. Now, I know the world wants to ignore, rationalize, excuse, and blame others, and just put it out of their mind and say it's no big deal, it's not that important. That's the world. In fact, they'll use terms like, I blew it, I made a mistake, I failed. That's not really confession. God has a way to deal with sin. It's 1 John 1:9. If we confess, that's call it what it is. I lied. I cheated. I had a bad attitude. I was ungodly. You spell it out. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Proverbs 28:13 says, He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. That's God's plan. And that's what the Lord brought Peter to. Step number one to recovery is you have to face your sin and forsake it. I'll let you know, secondly, is Peter needed to find what God wanted him to do. Find what God wants you to do. Peter needed to find what God wanted. It's very clear. God said three times, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Or feed my lambs first, and then twice, feed my sheep. Now, you'll note in the Greek, he literally is saying, pasture my lambs. And then he says, is like guardianship of my sheep, and then pasture my sheep. In other words, regardless of the name, whether they're young or whether they're old, you are to give your life to ministering to God's people. That's your job. And that was the job that he was given by God. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. This is what you're to do. This is your occupation. Now let me ask you this question. What does God want you to do? I know he wants you to pray. I know he wants you to witness. I know he wants you to give. I know he wants you to be faithful. I know he wants you to serve. That's clearly brought out in Scripture. But what specifically in the ministry of the local church does God want you to do? What ministry do you have? Find what God wants you to do. That's what Peter needed. I'd like you to notice the third one is this. He needed to follow Christ completely in obedience. Or follow Christ in complete obedience. Not only find what God wants you to do, but completely obey. You'll note twice in this passage, he says, follow me. 19 and verse 22, he says, follow me. And the Lord very simply is saying, Peter, obey me. Just do what I tell you to do. Now, what has the Lord asked you to do? And secondly, are you doing it? In the ministry over the years, there are certain things that I have found that people really struggle. One is some people really struggle with getting baptized. That's monumental for some people to go through the waters of baptism because they maybe were sprinkled as a child or they don't look at it as so important. So they just refuse, even though it's command of Scripture. They go so far spiritually. Oh, yeah, they put their trust in Christ, but they aren't going to get baptized. And I've had people over the years that was their stumbling block. They would not get baptized. Other people, it's tithing. Giving faithfully to the local church. Your tithe and your offerings. Some people, they just cannot trust God with that. And they will not obey that part of Scripture. That's just a part that, no, I will come, I will get baptized, but I'm not going to give. Another one is serving. Some people feel their gift is setting. I really think they think that's their gift. To set. And they're very good at it. And they're very good at telling others maybe what to do or what they should have done or how they could have done it different. There are some that are very gifted with that way. But God calls you to serve. And if you're not serving, you're disobedient. It's just very simple. You're disobeying God. God called you to serve. And when your work is done, plan on going home. Because God wants to use you. Another area is witnessing. Telling others about Christ. I know I'm commanded, and we are commanded as a church to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And that is a mandate. It's not optional. I'm commanded to do that. But how many people will not pass out a tract? They will not invite anyone to church. They will not give them their testimony. And they will not give the gospel out. I know there's all kinds of excuses. I've heard most of them, I think. I don't think there's too many more. And I'm sure Pastor Moore would know a lot more excuses probably than me. But there's a lot of excuses. I don't know how. Why don't you know how? Tell them your testimony. How did you get saved? That person gets saved the same way, unless you're lost. There's only one way of salvation. Just give them your plan, how you got saved. It doesn't take a lot to pass out a tract. The tract I like to give out is the Bridge to Heaven tract. That's my favorite. But the Bridge to Heaven, and give it to them and say, I'd like to have you read this. I'd like to have you read this. That's not hard to do. Or have someone in your home and say, I want to tell you, take the time to show you from God's Word how you can be absolutely sure you're on your way to heaven. That's a job that all of us have. But if we are going to grow and if we are going to be what God wants us to be, we have to realize that we not need to forsake our sin and our path, find what God wants us to do, which is laid out in Scripture, and then He's going to lead you to the power of the Holy Spirit, what He wants you to do in specific. But thirdly, you got to follow Him in complete obedience. And so do I. I like to notice the last one is this. We need to do this, and that is the fourth one, is we must focus upon Christ and not on others. Now put yourself in this context. You'll note Peter's walking with the Lord. And the Lord tells Peter a little bit of the future, referring to how he was going to suffer for the cause of Christ. He was going to be actually hung on a cross, and he was going to be hung upside down. Peter was going to be stretched out on a cross. Peter did not want to in any way, according to the history, be like the Lord as far as emulating him in his death. So he asked to be put on a cross upside down. But I want you to know, when Peter was told that, behind them was the beloved disciple by the name of John. And Peter turned around and looked at John, and then his question is, what about John? Do you realize how many Christians are focusing upon other people rather than focusing upon the Lord? We're concerned about what they think or what they're doing or not doing or how they're going to respond or how they're going to treat us. And those things control us. If we are going to go forward as Christians, we have to focus upon the Lord and not other people. God has a special plan for you. He has people that he wants you to touch. And don't worry about what other people say or think or do. You just obey God. And that's what Peter is being taught step by step. Peter, take care of the past. Peter, find what I want you to do. This is it. Then follow me completely, but forget about other people. Just follow me. Now, I want you to notice this as I close, and that is this. Now, you say, well, what about closing? Well, it's like the little boy that was sitting in the pew, and the pastor said this, and he says, Dad, what does that mean? He says, well, that was point one. He says, what does that mean? Point number two. Point number three, what does that mean? And the pastor said, well, in closing, and he said, what does that mean? And the little boy, and the dad turned to the little boy and says, absolutely nothing. Well, we're closing. It means nothing. But here's the point. Is for us to go forward as believers with the trials that I have. And I mentioned financial, I mentioned emotional, I mentioned physical, I mentioned relational, I mentioned a lot of problems, spiritual. All those battles we face, we need to be able to see God in it, and the real issue is Him. He's the one to be glorified through my trial. All things are worked together for my good and for His glory. And whether the trial is this one or that one or that heartache or that burden, we need to keep our focus upon the Lord, because we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. We are bought with the precious blood of Christ. We're not our own, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20. We are to be a living sacrifice, Romans 1, 12, 1 and 2. We're to lay ourselves on the altar, and we're to be His work, not our work. And here's the problem that I battle with every day. Is, am I going to center the Christian life in me? Or is the center of the Christian life going to be Him? And the focus of my Christian life, if every day I can center it in who it's supposed to be about, Jesus Christ, I'll always be victorious. But when I focus upon me, my trials, my heartaches, my burdens, I'll get depressed. I'll want to quit. I'll be self-centered and selfish. And demanding and angry, hard to live with. Why? Because it's centered in me. But as soon as I can back up and learn the lesson that the Lord was teaching Peter, Peter, the Christian life is not about you. The Christian life is about me. Follow me. Obey me. Please me. Do my will. Don't look at others. That's the way to blessing. And if I could have any message that I could burn in my heart, I'm not talking about just about yours, every day. Pastor, live your life today with a Christian life that's centered in Christ. And if it's always centered in His will, pleasing Him, His cause, His way, His work, His glory, I'll be victorious. But as soon as I dwell on my problems, which are there, guess what? I become self-centered. I become self-absorbed. I become self-focused. And I become bitter. And I don't become better. God's will, I become better. Now I want you to think as we close, what's your troubles? What are your trials? They're in every church. They're in every Christian life. There are battles. Satan is alive, and he is trying to destroy the work of God. But we're on the victory side. Jesus Christ is stronger than Satan, and greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I can have victory, but I must center my life in Jesus Christ. And that's the great lesson that Jesus was teaching Peter. Peter, it's not about you. It's about me. And if you learn that and live it, you'll be victorious. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. I hope that helps, because it is a struggle that all of us battle with in every church we're in. We're finding that there are Christians that are hurting. The hurting is real. The battle is real. We battle against the flesh, we battle against Satan, and we battle against the world. The battle is real, and sometimes it's long. It's lifelong. Now my question is this: will you succumb to Satan, or will you succumb to Christ and center your life in Him? If you center your life in Him, you'll be victorious. Go back. Face your sin. Ask God to forgive. Find what He wants you to do and follow in complete obedience, but focus upon Christ alone and not others. Our Father, we thank You for Your word, and we do thank You so much for the privilege You've given me to be here this morning to preach and, Lord, to open up this passage. And, Lord, we ask You to help us to learn the truth that is here, that we might love You the way we ought to love You. And, Lord, that we put You above all else and we set ourselves aside, Lord, that we might do everything to glorify You. And, Lord, we know in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, everything we do, whether we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, we're to bring glory to Your precious name. And, Lord, help us to live that out, living the Christian life focused in You and not in us. And, Lord, bless the other things that are going to happen this day, remainder of this service, and, Lord, the Sunday school to follow, because we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.